Is it a conspiracy or a confluence of interests? Whichever the case, some may conspire. Hi guys, and welcome to today's new Some May Conspire podcast. Now, usually I just read out from the article here and add some context and some other information as we go along. So the latest article I put out just today actually is P. Diddy, Epstein and Another Island of Interest. Now, this just goes on and on, doesn't it? This whole Epstein thing. What we need to realise, I think, is this whole drug trafficking, child trafficking, human sacrifice, arms trafficking system goes back way into the Roman Empire and beyond to Babylon through this Saturn death cult. They've been doing these things sitting in the background, but using people out the front through thousands of years to carry out these systems, and P. Diddy would just be one of many thousands over the years that are doing these things. Epstein the same. So the people we're actually looking at are far off in the distance and way, way beyond anyone that we probably know, but I reckon we know some of these names and some of these family names. But right now, hitting the headlines, P. Diddy and what he's been accused of, and these are still accusations as the time of this recording, and the article's gone out today. Nothing has been confirmed and no one's been charged, and that should be said. But let's get into the article. So this is P. Diddy, Epstein and Another Island of Interest. The island that is a 50-minute flight from Little St. James, visited by both Epstein and Diddy. Just when you think nothing more can be said about Jeffrey Epstein and his connections to the so-called elite, along comes P. Diddy, or Puff Daddy, Sean Combs, and boom, the entire dark, disturbing human trafficking mess blows open again. A few weeks back, I wrote an article about the possible Hollywood connections through the likes of Dave Geffen to the CIA and such hussed-up military facilities as Lookout Mountain in Laurel Canyon. This was an article inspired by the excellent journalism of Candice Owens, who was at the time being harassed online by the Chabad rabbi Shmuley Boteach, a guy who is most famous for taking advantage of Michael Jackson by recording his private phone calls whilst the singer was off his tits on morphine. Candice was uncovering the alleged trafficking activities of P. Diddy, which some have compared to the likes of Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein's services largely concentrated on the political sphere, while some say P. Diddy operated a similar system, but within the music and movie industries. For her efforts and audacity to do some actual investigative journalism, Candice was recently let go by the Daily Wire, a platform that hosts the rants of pro-Israeli Zionists such as Ben Shapiro and Jordan Peterson. For this, I personally would like to commend Candice for being a rare voice of sanity in the mainstream alternative media. There are many things I disagree with that Candice talks about, but in this instance I feel she should be commended for her work, and that she should. And if you go over to X, you will find her Twitter still there, X Twitter, whatever it is, and you can support her and her YouTube channel there, which is still there. I mean, she's done some excellent work. Maybe there's something going on in the background here that I don't know about. Because to have someone like Candice with such a pro-Gaza Palestinian stance on what's going on over there in Gaza, and have Shapiro on the same platform, who's a complete lunatic for Zionist Israel, I don't know. I don't quite trust that, but maybe I'm looking into it too deep. But now Candice is gone, I don't know. I still like there's more to that going on in the background that we don't really understand, but maybe call me a conspiracy theory. Maybe I'm looking into that too much. Anyway, back to the articles. The island of St. Barthélemy, which is also called St. Barth's or St. Barth's. What I did not know at the time of writing that article is that there is a nearby island to Epstein's Little St. James, a 50-minute commercial flight, called the Island of St. Barthélemy, or St. Barth's for short. Now, there's an image on there that shows the distance there, and it is a 50-minute flight. I think you can only get, like, small planes, like 6-seater planes to go from one island to the next. I don't believe it's something you can do in like I say commercial there, but in terms of a jet, these are small islands, and they're all very, very close by. And I believe Richard Branson's got his Necker Island, I believe, not too far away from that. And there's a whole connection there with Nexium having parties there and all sorts of weird stuff going on. Branson, I believe it was in the early 70s, was caught transporting black market labelled or black labelled records, so tax dodged records basically, across the border into the UK, and he was caught doing that, and he got off with a, I think it was a £650,000 fine, which is a lot. It might be £65,000 fine at the time, and no prison sentence and no criminal record. So his mum and dad were well connected then, so he's hardly a self-made man. He was always well connected and well covered, and he's gone on to be able to run his own companies for years and been hauled as a entrepreneur. But really the fact is he's actually been backed and protected all of this time, and we're going to find out, in my opinion, a lot more about Richard Branson as the years go by. There's a reason why I called it Virgin Records, and it wasn't because they were virgins at working in the music industry, trust me. The island has been chosen as a hotspot for the likes of Dave Geffen, P. Diddy, Formula One boss Bernie Ecclestone, and Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, as a place to meet up and show off their yachts, as you do. Even Dr. Phil has been spotted there in a video clip from a visitor who was just wandering about. It's really funny watching the clip. He's like, hello, Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil looks like, I'm not sure I should be here. But yeah, funny clips on YouTube, you can find that. Roman Abramovich also owns property on St. Barth's, which was said to have cost him $90 million in 2009. Now, of course, just because you visit or own property on this island doesn't mean you have anything to do with Epstein or P. Diddy. It certainly has nothing to do with what Diddy is alleged to have done. At the time of this writing, it's still alleged. As, again, as I said at the start, no one's been convicted, and there's I don't believe there's been any anyone arrested for these things. But a search warrant was carried out on one of P. Diddy's homes, and clearly the media was alerted to this. Back to the article. But some of the connections mentioned in the rest of this article are certainly interesting, if nothing else, and may provide a few puzzle pieces into what is turning out to be a global ring of compromat and control. Now, there's a video here in the article, so go over to richardwillett.substack.com and have a look, and you will see just a video there with Dave Geffen, P. Diddy, and a few other billionaires showing off their yachts there. This place is, these islands, just attracting these billionaires, these oligarchs as well, and there's so much more going on here. Another notable piece of information about this little known island is that David Rockefeller also owned a house there, which recently sold for around $136 million. In the video shown below, the couple who are exploring this now abandoned mansion find a stuffed white bunny toy. So make of that what you will. Anyone who's done this research will know what the stuffed white follow the bunny means down the rabbit hole. That was just found there. Now, there's a video there again on the article, richardwillett.substack.com. Go and have a look at it. A young couple seem to just be exploring the island, as you can do, but it's costly. And they find this whole abandoned mansion, former Rockefeller mansion there. And within it, on one of the levels, there's a white stuffed bunny just sitting there. Now, whether these guys placed it there or not, or whether it's been placed there from other people as a sign as, look, you're on the right trail of finding some really not so nice stuff, who knows? But the white bunny is very, very significant when looking into these occultists that seem to appear together around these islands. So below is a great little video of a nice chap who toured the island just to see how the other half live. Another video here is a young lad here who tours the island and shows you how basically much it costs to live there. It's a very small island as well. Again, it's only 50 minutes away from Epstein's infamous island and St. Thomas Islands and so many other islands that have submarine ports there. The video below hilariously claims that the island of St. Barts is a haven from crime, when it appears it may have been a safe haven for criminals. Again, another video there underneath on the article itself. Now, this video is basically a vacation video. So that's why that says a promotion for the island. But it hilariously says it's a safe haven from criminal or crimes. But when you look at it a bit deeper, it seems to be from safe haven for getting caught for sort of very high level elite crimes by the looks of it. Sumbart's Island also offers submarine tours, such as trips on the Yellow Submarine, given that the Beatles were later engulfed by occultists such as Aleister Crowley, and may have been an invention of the Tavistock Institute from the start. It might be worth considering the symbology of this. What lies beneath, I wonder? And there is a picture there of this yellow submarine that you can go on from St. Bart's, and I always think the symbology is always looking at you. Now, I couldn't find a date for this, when this submarine was built. So it looks to me like it was built well after the Beatles and their time and the song came out. So I wouldn't assume that they were singing about this yellow submarine in the song. I think that the submarine come much later, but still the symbology is there and it's interesting nonetheless. Let's return back to the article. We know that Epstein Island and surrounding islands, such as St. Thomas Island, all have submarine access and installations. Add to this that Ghislaine Maxwell herself had a submarine license. It all seems a bit fishy. My inclination is that the Lolita Express flight logs are somewhat of a distraction, and that it is the comings and goings underwater that may provide much more startling evidence of Epstein and Maxwell's crimes. And there's a little snippet there that's out of some of the research that I've done, which says, while the rest of the Danish West Indies was purchased by the United States in 1917, Water Island was not purchased by the US until June 19th, 1944, when it was purchased for $10,000, bargain, to protect the submarine base on St. Thomas Island during World War II. Again, another submarine base. This is going to come up time and time again, these submarine bases. There's an image there in the article itself that shows that Maxwell with her submarine there underwater. I believe even Stephen Hawking went on the submarine at one point. I'm not 100% sure whether he wanted to be on there. That's hard to know, considering he wasn't in control of where he was sat towards the end of his life, bless him. But he was certainly on the island, and he was certainly on the submarine. Make of that what you will. There's a lot of stuff going on around transhumanism and Epstein and things going on under Zorro Ranch, which I've written about in other articles, which also you can find on the Some May Conspire podcast as well. That information, it all links together. So, back to the article. There are reports of drug trafficking incidents on the island, but not much in the way of human trafficking. Having said that, I did find this by a conspiratorial report on X. It details a supposed incident where an individual called Ice Poseidon was apparently invited to a party on the island, where he was told to shut off his live stream as the individual recognised him as a streamer. He then claims that he was later threatened and told to sign an NDA. I'll read you this. This is from conspiratorial report at CNSPTRLRPRT on Twitter. Conspiratorial report. Best put that in, I think. So I'll read you what this little screenshot says. So, kick streamer Ice Poseidon exposed to child trafficking network last night while streaming in St. Bart's. He got invited by a random French guy to come to this party. He was told the woman whose house the party is at was part of an organisation called the Child Rescue Coalition. Upon arrival, she greeted him, knowing he's a streamer, but didn't know he was streaming. She freaks out and tells him to shut off his stream and that he should have to sign an NDA. So the stream goes off, and later Ice returns to say she threatens to sue him. She threatened to sue him and said things like, "Do you know who I am and what I can do to you?" According to Ice, the group of people were doing coke, had weird slides, and were talking about having sex with people to make others mad. Maybe there's nothing here, but tonight there's a UNICEF gala that Drake is performing at, in which Epstein flight log attendees John Legend and Chrissy Teigen are at. John Legend was massively pro-Israel and pro-Zionist through much of his career. Also to note, Epstein's Island is very close to St. Bart's. As I said, it's a 50-minute flight. There are a lot of celebs here as well. Some of the names I know so far, Mike Tyson, Jeff Bezos, who I believe has a house on this island, Drake, Lenny Kravitz, Heidi Klum, J-Lo, Ben Affleck, David Letterman, Dr. Phil, again, I mentioned he was there earlier, Matthew McConaughey, Scott Disick, Michael Jordan, Jake Paul, Vanessa Hudgens, John Legend, Chrissy Teigen, Katy Perry, Ricky Martin, Dua Lipa, Orlando Bloom, and Emily Radzinski. And that's from the conspiratorial report. Now, obviously, them names there, they're just there for the gala. That doesn't really mean anything at all. Again, people, as you've seen earlier in the article, can go on this island and stay there themselves if they've got enough money. But all very, very interesting, especially that this guy claims to be invited to a party where he was asked to sign an NDA and he met someone there from Child Rescue Coalition. So, again, all looking a bit weird to me. But looking into the background of Ice Poseidon, he comes across as someone who is both reckless and unstable. So I personally find his word isn't exactly a bedrock of solid soil to go on. That being said, we know these things go on around the likes of Epstein. And wherever Epstein went, crime, corruption and compromat went as well. Epstein and Lord Mandelson. It is of course well known that Epstein was involved with many high profile individuals such as Bill Clinton and Prince Andrew. In the context of this article, let's take a look at his relationship with Labour's former business secretary, Lord Peter Mandelson. It's pretty clear that Peter, or Petey as he was known by Epstein, met with Epstein after he had been convicted of procuring underage children in 2008 and was given an 18-month prison sentence. Epstein was released on probation in July of 2009. Now, just be clear, that was Epstein that was convicted of these things. But the conversations and the communication between Peter Mandelson and Epstein went on during his prison sentence and afterwards. So he would have known, obviously, about his convictions. According to the Guardian newspaper, correspondence between Peter Mandelson and now convicted child procurer Jeffrey Epstein continued through June of 2009, whilst Epstein was serving his prison sentence in a Palm Beach prison. Now, here's a quote from that article of The Guardian. The JP Morgan report reveals that Epstein wrote to his private banker, Jess Staley, on the 17th of June 2009, in relation to Mandelson, to say, Peter will be staying at 71st over weekend. Do you want to organise either you or you and Jamie? Quirkly, up to you. At the time, Lord Mandelson was business secretary in the government of Gordon Brown. So we have the business secretary of then Prime Minister Gordon Brown corresponding with and staying at the home of then convicted child procurer Jeffrey Epstein. So just let that sink in for a moment. The Guardian article also said, the report also refers to two occasions on which Epstein said he was with Petey, with the bank, which the bank interprets as a reference to Mandelson. In November 2010 and January 2011, Mandelson was out of the government by this point. It is clear then that prior to Epstein's conviction and then for some years afterwards, Peter Mandelson was in contact with Jeffrey Epstein. The image below from an article in The Telegraph shows Mandelson and Epstein shopping together on St. Bart's Island in 2006. And there's a picture of them, some sort of boutique looking at belts by the look of it. Bit weird. I suppose not. What is it weird? I never went and bought belts with my mates, but there you go. These are weird people. But that was 2006. He was buying a belt, and that just clearly shows Epstein on St. Bart's Island, the same island that P. Diddy was also frequenting himself, and many others. Jeff Bezos and Peter Mandelson, by the looks of it. So there's some other clip outs there as well. To show that Lord Mandelson was very close, to be fair, over the years. He attended his Epstein's birthday party as well. So it was close. It was clear they had a close relationship. There is a wealth of information of the background of Peter Manderson and his connections to the like of Epstein and perhaps even Edward Heath. For this article, I want to concentrate on this little-known island of St. Barts and why it might be a significant piece of the Epstein-P. Diddy global trafficking ring. Again, let's just reiterate that at the time of this article going out and this recording, that Diddy has not been convicted or even charged with any of these accusations. So, a Diddy-Epstein connection, is there one? So are there any other connections between Jeffrey Epstein and P. Diddy other than the frequent use of St. Bart's Island and its relatively close proximity to Epstein's paedophile island, Little St. James? It seems there is at least one, but how reliable this source is for any information is questionable. A young lady named Rachel Chandler is said to have been a victim when she was 14 years old in the photo we can see in the article with P. Diddy, and later on created her own modelling agency, so her name was Rachel Chandler. I myself interviewed Epstein survivor Juliet Bryant, who spoke of Epstein's close friendship with the former US President Bill Clinton. This is pretty well documented, so the image below that appears to show Bill Clinton with a young Ray Chandler may be legitimate. So there's an image there from Jordan Sather. You can see that on richardwillett.substack.com. I have a Bill Clinton with a very, very young, well, I say very young, she must be about 17, but she could be younger, Chandler. So make of that what you will. That was posted in 2019. Again, it should be stressed that an image of wealthy people standing together doesn't mean much at all. Having said that, this all adds up to a larger picture. It appears Rachel has since married into the Guinness family and runs a modelling agency. Some research suggests that the Chandler dynasty started with Harry Chandler, who became the publisher of the Los Angeles Times and had an interest in eugenics, much like Bill Clinton and others such as Ted Turner. Harry is said to have become a large-scale real estate speculator, helping to create the Los Angeles Museum, the Hollywood Bowl, the San Pedro Harbor. Harry was also said to have been a partner in syndicates that owned and developed much of the San Fernando Valley and the Hollywood Hills. There's an image there from Harry Chandler in 1936, and you can see the likeness between Harry and obviously that his great-great-granddaughter. But there's definitely a physical resemblance there. He also looks like a Jesuit. That's a classic round Jesuit glasses. There isn't much information on Rachel, but in terms of this specific article, this is at least one connection between the circles that Epstein swam in and the possible overlapping circles that P. Diddy may have swam in also. I would also like to add that many of Epstein's victims were children and used and abused in a system that they were perhaps born into. This may have been the case with Rachel Chandler, from the very limited information I can find from sources that are themselves speculative. So in terms of this article, it is really only the P. Diddy connection with Rachel and how that connects with Epstein that is of any significance, as well as the close proximity of Epstein's island to St. Barth's Island. These are just two little pieces of a possible overall puzzle. Diddy the Fall Guy. Many videos are resurfacing of the likes of 50 Cent calling out P. Diddy over the years, although he is hardly a pillar of society himself. We also have some uncomfortable videos of situations between P. Diddy and a very young Justin Bieber. Now, some have taken these clips from this video below and thrown some music behind it whilst deleting the surrounding context. But have a watch and see what you think. So go to richardwillett.substack.com and have a look at the video there with Justin Bieber. It's called 48 Hours with Diddy. It is a bit creepy. Yeah, and he said later on that he's put in so many situations that he was way too young to be put in. Usher has said the same too in regards to P. Diddy. It's also strange that P. Diddy was given legal custody of Usher when a singer was taken under his wing. Here's a statement from P. Diddy as of Tuesday the 26th of March 2024, according to the Independent website. Combs, 54, has strongly denied all allegations against him. His attorneys have branded the lawsuits and their accusations as money grabs, baseless or sickening. Baseless or sickening. Don't know why I could say that. The entertainer has not been formally charged or accused by federal prosecutors of any crime. The accusations against Shaw Combs, according to this article in the Independent, are as follows. So these are just accusations. Again, none of this has ever been proven. And these are, so far, as of recording, merely accusations. And we see these things thrown out to against famous people all the time. We had Russell Brand a lot long ago. We've had people over the years, and nothing's come of some of these things. But so let's just keep in mind these are accusations so far. Accusations by Diddy's former partner, Cassandra Cassie Ventura, of rape, beating, and being forced to carry a firearm for her own protection. She also claimed he forced her into unwanted sexual encounters with male sex workers. Casey later settled a lawsuit with her ex-partner Sean Combs for an undisclosed amount, stating that she chose to resolve this matter amicably. Sean Combs' attorney said this was in no way an admission of wrongdoing and didn't change his denial of the allegations. Other allegations, including an anonymous plaintiff who accused the rapper and another songwriter of raping her and another friend in 1990 or 1991 after a meeting at a MCA Records event in New York. Another accusation came from an unnamed accuser, Jane Doe, who claims she was drugged and raped by the rapper when she was 17 years old in 2003. The suit accused Combs of a sex trafficking scheme in which Jane Doe was flown by private jet from her home in Michigan to New York. Again, let us understand that these are at present simply allegations, and that we saw a similar attack on the likes of Russell Brand in the summer of 2022. That has since gone absolutely nowhere, yet appears at the time of writing to have served perhaps to just tarnish his reputation. Again, those accusations to Russell against Russell have gone nowhere in the last sort of, I don't know how long ago, so it was last summer, I believe. So yeah, it's the summer 2022, I believe it was 2022 or 2023, goes so fast. And these accusations have gone nowhere. I believe that's the summer of 2023, actually. So let's keep that in mind, that these things get thrown out and then later on the mud sticks, but nothing comes of these things. So I'm not saying that's what's happened in this case, but let's bear that in mind, because no one's been charged and no evidence has been put forward yet. Having said that, it does appear that P. Diddy is a completely different world to the likes of Russell Brand, and that comparing the two might be a false equivalence on my part, yet innocent until proven guilty in a court of law must always be upheld. Combs' lawyer, Sean Holy, is quoted in the Independent article as saying, "We have overwhelming, indisputable proof that his claims are complete lies," he said. "We will address this outlandish allegation in court and take all appropriate action against those who make them." Below is a video of a guy who claims to have worked with Puffy, in which the chap describes how P. Diddy allegedly scoped out people to see how far they would go. This tactic appears to be standard practice in Hollywood and the music industry. So there's a clip here in the article. Have a look at that. It's a guy, just, he said he worked with them, and P. Diddy took him into a club, and they went up three or four levels, and he saw some very homosexual things going on, but there was no mention of underage things, but it seemed to be like a testing ground. And this is something that we've heard with many others that do this in the UK too. I interviewed and worked with the guy, we used to be in a pop band, Brian Harvey, and he talks about being taken into what he called the Red Rooms in a nightclub called Brown's here in London, and what he saw there, which still affects him terribly to this day. So these things do go on all over the world, especially in the music industry and the film industry, which links in with politics. The shadow people. Most researchers will stop at P. Diddy and Epstein and be satisfied that they are acting off their own backs. But to me, the likes of Epstein and P. Diddy are simply the fall guys. Yes, in the case of Epstein and possibly Diddy, they are totally deplorable and abusers of the worst kind. But this is why they are put into these positions of power in the first place. They are controllable because of their weaknesses of character and their insatiable greed for money, power, prestige and control. They are useful operatives to those who sit in the shadows and pull the strings. Even the mighty Victor Rothschild was outed as the fifth man in the Cambridge Five spy ring. If a man as wealthy and connected as Victor Rothschild, and I've interviewed those who grew up with him, and they also believe he was a fifth member of the Cambridge spy ring, can be sacrificed to keep this global agenda on track, then who are the players in the shadows? Let's also remember that if P. Diddy has a wealth of compromat on a vast range of celebrities, politicians and business moguls, as well as likely the case with Epstein and his partner in crime, Ghislaine Maxwell, then where does all that compromat material go? Is it a case of the CIA and FBI using the likes of Diddy and even Epstein to gather the material, and then when they have either drawn too much attention to themselves or refused to go along with this organised crime anymore, the material is confiscated and they are thrown to the wolves? Just ask yourself, how were the media coordinated to be at P. Diddy's residence just as the recent raid was taking place? They even had drones in the air and reporters on the ground. Someone passed that information on to them so they could cover it and expose Diddy on their cult-owned mainstream channels. Could it be that all of that compromat falls into the hands of the three-letter agencies, who then can continue to use it as collateral, fool's gold, to control anyone that these agents have gathered intel on? So I think that's a fair question, really. Like, where does this information go? They go and raid boxes of this stuff. But do they use the likes of an Epstein and a Ghislaine Maxwell and a P. Diddy to gather this information as operatives? They give them the opportunities, and after a while their ego gets the best of them. They have to be taken out, and this information is then gathered in by the intelligence agencies. So these are tools, I believe, myself, of these agencies that are coming out and playing the good cop in the end by arresting them, whilst all along at some level they may be working together or working for them. Sean Combs, Bad Boy for Life. Tracing P. Diddy's career back, it all falls into a pretty simple story arc. At the age of 20, he took up an internship at Uptown Records, working with acts such as Mary J. Blige and Jodeci, all under the tutelage of label founder Andrew Harrell. He then went on to found his own record label, the infamous Bad Boy Records, who then signed Notorious B.I.G. B.I.G. was murdered in what many believe to be a revenge killing for the murder of his former friend and then enemy, Tupac Shakur. Very famous, that whole incident. Other information about Diddy's possible dark crimes are coming from American stand-up comedian and actor Cat Williams, who reels in a former friend of Diddy's, Jermaine Dupri. Williams claims there was some messed up stuff going on between Dupri and the child act Criss Cross. One of the members of this child act duo, Chris McDaddy Kelly, is reported to have committed suicide from a drug overdose at the age of 34. Some reports suggest this may have been because of the abuse suffered as a child in the music industry. Cat Williams says he is exposing the likes of P. Diddy in the below interview. So there's an interview here with Cat Williams. It's a fantastic interview. He speaks out about a lot of this stuff, and it's worth watching that video on richardwillett.substack.com. And that's with Chief Nerd. So it's, yeah, worth a look. But he's also sponsored by X, so make that what you will. Below Joe Rogan, who's Spotify and Tencent, and also very well connected to this occult, this dark cult, anyway, whether he knows it or not, discusses Baphomet and Hollywood with Cat Williams. When discussing these satanic rituals, you are now going way beyond the likes of P. Diddy and Jeffrey Epstein. You are now entering the caste system level of the Vatican, the European bloodlines, Babylonian snake brotherhoods, and ancient bloodlines. Again, there's another clip here from the Joe Rogan show where Cat Williams talks about Baphomet and the transgender rituals that go on in the in Hollywood and the music industry and the comedy industry as well. As I've discussed many times before, Hollywood itself is a remake of a satanic ritual lifted from Nemi in Rome. This ritual took place around a location called Diana's Mirror, who's also Isis, Semiramis, and Mother Mary, and was concentrated around the selling of your soul for immortality, which in modern Hollywood terms means to become a star. And obviously Sean Diddy Combs has his star on the Walk of Fame. Most of them do. Also, let us remember, whilst the mainstream cult-owned media are concentrating on one man and his alleged trafficking crimes, the US government is allowing hundreds of thousands of individuals across the US-Mexico border, where thousands of children are going missing. These children are taken into a shadow system and many never seen again. This is what the US government, at the behest of the global satanic Babylon cult, are openly doing. And there's a clip there you can see over on Twitter of thousands of people going across. There's a tractor here lifting up the fence for them, and kids go missing all the time. So, you know, the government are doing these things, and not the government, this is a Babylonian cult. The governments are just minor fractions of this, but this is going on a global scale. And as I said at the start of this interview, this goes back to the ancient Babylonian practicing rituals, and the goddess god Saturn, and worshiping the the Golden Dawn and all of that nonsense. It's a long-held thing, human trafficking, drug trafficking, and then later on arms trafficking. This is something that's been going on for thousands of years. Drink it in, man. So who are the money men and business partners behind P. Diddy? Forget the drama in the music industry for a minute. Nothing moves without money. One of the long-term business partners of P. Diddy are the spirit maker, Diageo. In June of 2023, Diageo ended its 15-year partnership with P. Diddy, which appears to have resulted in some legal action taken out by P. Diddy. I believe he accused them of being racist for some reason. What is absolutely fascinating here is that one of the brands owned by this British spirits company are Guinness. Yes, that Guinness. The Irish classic that belongs to the Guinness family. The very same family that former Epstein victim later photographed with P. Diddy, Rachel Chandler, has married into. So Rachel Chandler, who I spoke about earlier, photographed with P. Diddy and also connected to Epstein, married into the Guinness family. So now we have a former Epstein victim who is connected to Diddy, marrying into a family whose own family brand, Guinness, is owned by the company that Diddy has just fallen out of favour with, Diageo. And I believe Diageo took some of his own brands with them. So this is from the Wikipedia page. Diageo formed a relationship with rapper Sean Combs in an equal share venture in 2007 to promote the Ciroc or Ciroc vodka brand. And this led to the joint purchase of Dillon Tequila brand in 2013. The partnership was terminated in 2024 after a legal dispute, leaving Diageo the sole owner of both brands. So this is recent. So they've had a falling out with the company that owns Guinness. Very, very recently, Sean Combs has fallen out with these people. Now, it could just simply be a business dispute and nothing more, but I do find it fascinating that Rachel Chandler, who has been associated with P. Diddy and Epstein, and named as Epstein's victim, then married into the Guinness family. Other than this interesting link, nothing else appears to stand out about this partnership. Though the day after the Rachel and Tom Guinness wedding, they held a party at Lieplatte Park. The proprietor of Lieplatte Park, Dan Chadwick, dressed up as a white rabbit. Make of that what you will. Remember the white rabbit found at the abandoned Rockefeller Mansion at St. Bath's. So do you remember, this white rabbit appears everywhere. Follow the white rabbit. This is fascinating to me. The photo was from so there's a photo here that's on. You can see that photo on richardwillett.substack.com in the article of this guy dressed as a white rabbit. It says this is Don dressed as a rabbit in honour of Easter Sunday, which is bizarre when you realise this next bit. This photo was found from a spread at the wedding in Vogue. And as you can see, it says the dress up was in honour of Easter. The wedding took place in June in 2013. Easter was on March 31st. So this nothing to do with Easter, obviously. There was an Alice in Wonderland theme tinge to this weird wedding, and and this is all connected to the Guinness family, connected to Epstein, connected to P. Diddy and this young lady, Rachel Chandler. So it looks so, and then it appears that Tom and Rachel may have divorced, and Tom now has a child with another lady. And there's limited information about Rachel Chandler. To anyone who's done any occult research, the white rabbit has connotations to Alice in Wonderland, and the rabbit hole is a famous image used when describing the journey of a person who looks into conspiracies. I believe it's also used in the Matrix movies. What I have yet to mention is that some researchers have connected Rachel Chandler to the Balenciaga and Pizzagate scandals, which are both disturbing rabbit holes we won't go down here. Make of that what you will. I don't know if there's any truth to those accusations. That's just some researchers have connected her to those. I myself is dubious as to whether there is a connection there. But again, it's worth mentioning. And then just as you think you have drunk enough Guinness to the point where you are about to throw up all over yourself, you stumble across the below headline. And the headline says, Epstein investigators want to talk to Guinness family aristocrat who flew on infamous Lolita Express 32 times. Following arrest of paedophiles pimp Ghislaine Maxwell 32 times. Jeffrey Epstein appears to have been very well acquainted with the Guinness family, seeing that the Guinness family aristocrat Claire Hazel is the Countess of Ivrea, is reported to have travelled on the Lolita Express 32 times. According to the above article from July 2020, printed in the Daily Mail, flight logs show her making 32 trips on Epstein's Boeing 727 between 1998 and 2000, including trips to his luxury homes in New York, Florida, and the Caribbean. It is not suggested that the Countess is suspected of any crimes, but lawyers for Epstein's victims are already thought to have sought her out as a possible witness. Wow, 32 times though. So now we have P. Diddy in business with the Guinness family, as well as Jeffrey Epstein possibly abusing a young lady who later married into the Guinness family bloodline, and another member of the Guinness family who married into it, appearing 32 times on the flight logs of his private jet, according to the Daily Mail article quoted above. And then we go back to the start of this article, back to the island. Both Jeffrey Epstein and P. Diddy frequently frequented the star-studded hideout at St. Barth's Island, where at least one individual claims they were invited to a party at a club and asked to sign an NDA. So here's my conclusion. Does this prove that Jeffrey Epstein and P. Diddy knew each other and were perhaps connected in some way? Not at all. What it does show is that they were clearly swimming in the same circles, and one would be inclined to believe that it is not beyond the realms of possibility that if P. Diddy is guilty of the human trafficking claims, that there might be a connection there. But let us not be fooled. As I've said, the likes of Jeffrey Epstein and P. Diddy are merely very small pawns of a global cult, which is perhaps run by ancient bloodlines and families with titles and names that we have never heard of. So it's just worth looking into these things. Again, it's fascinating, but it's a very, very dark rabbit hole, and follow the white rabbit, as these lots seem to be symbolising everywhere. It also feels, when they use symbols like that, it's almost like a cry for help to try and show people that there's something else going on here. But there are connections all the way through this, from the island, from that Rachel Chandler young lady, to the Guinness family. There are connections here. St. Barts is not far away from Epstein Island. And the next thing I'm going to be looking at again is the submarines that going on. Not the yellow submarines so much there, but all of these islands around here. Thomas Island, Epstein Island, St. Thomas Island even, and St. Barts all have submarines going on. And I believe there's something going on underneath there. I know there is a connection. Someone sent me some information today about a company that produced semi-submarines that we couldn't afford, obviously, for the very wealthy around there. It was connected to Ghislaine Maxwell, who was trying to sell these, or was advertising these on one of her websites. And the company also created a floating city. I mean, imagine what stuff they could get on with a city that they could just move. It's insane. So we'll be looking into that next. But guys, remember, go over to richardwillett.substack.com and have a look at the article. Please subscribe and share this about. It's called P. Diddy, Epstein and Another Elite Island, St. Barts. And yes, thank you for listening. Very, very strange. This keeps rolling on. More and more stuff keeps coming out. More and more connections here. And I believe that Epstein is the gateway to a lot of this stuff falling apart. I will speak soon and take care. Goodbye. Is it a conspiracy or a confluence of interests? Whichever the case, some may conspire.